This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Sam was just mentioning that you insisted on using the real chain, and I think that that's an example of how far you were willing to go for Ray. What was it about her that made you decide that you could go that far?
Well, I mean, I think there are millions of women like Ray out there. And, you know, I mean, the link between childhood sexual abuse and promiscuity in women and, you know, low self-worth and post-traumatic stress and no self-esteem, that link has been well established. And when I read her, when I read this script, she was such an honest representation in a way, without judgment on that kind of person. And I thought, like, oh, so great to see someone that's not sugar-coated, because that implies judgment. And so then when I started doing more research about survivors of childhood sexual abuse and really understanding, you know, reading testimonials and statistics and really understanding sort of what she would be suffering from and the pain and fears and anxieties that were really her motivating emotions, I just felt so much compassion for her and felt just really compelled to kind of protect her by playing her.
Was it comfortable? I mean, was it comfortable playing a person like that? Or?
Well, it's not uncomfortable when you're playing them. It's uncomfortable to get into character because, you know, it's somebody who's, well, for me, that's somebody who expresses themselves and views the world in a polar opposite way than I do. But once I did all that research and I really understood where her, where all these things, these behaviors were coming from, those emotions are so strong that they're the kind of easy ones to get lost in because they are so strong and overwhelming. So it was difficult to kind of get into that mode of always seeing everything through this anxiety and this fear. But then once I was in that place, all the mannerisms and everything kind of were really, really motivated from all that emotion. And then once I was there, it wasn't that hard.
Sam also said that he got used to having you hanging around the set almost naked. Can you imagine that's something people could get used to?
Well, they had to. It was really necessary for the crew to be used to it because I was playing someone who has no sense of her body and places no value on her body. Her body has never done anything but cause harm, and she has no regard for herself. So she wouldn't care if she were clothed or not. And, you know, as an actress, I think that you, when you're playing someone like that, it's inappropriate for you to have any kind of vanity. And I needed to lose any sort of self-consciousness because I feel like sometimes you can see self-consciousness in a performance when somebody is sort of naked or a nude scene. And I really needed for that not to be there. So to help me, I stayed the way I would be for the scene all the time in order to get the crew really used to seeing me that way so that I was comfortable. Not only was I comfortable, but I would look at anybody's face and not see them uncomfortable. Because if someone else is uncomfortable, it makes you feel like you're doing something wrong.
What about the level of trust you and Sam had to kind of have with each other? Was that easy to find? Did you take some time and kind of talk about this a lot?
No, I mean, it was pretty immediate. He and I kind of immediately, once we were doing rehearsals, kind of realized that we were going to work really well together and that we could really trust each other. And I mean, I was so flattered by that because I've loved him for so long and I was kind of intimidated and kind of felt like, God, I hope he likes me and I hope he thinks I'm a good actress. So, you know, when I realized that he was going to be, that he trusted me and that he respected me and, you know, I, of course, already trusted and respected him, it was amazing. And to be able to rely on each other like that and know that we were in each other's hands and in really good hands and you could be really vulnerable with that person, it was such a great feeling. And you know, it's rare to have a partner like that in those scenes where you can just lose yourself because you know you're in someone's hands who cares about you and will take care of you.
How easy was it for you to sort of understand her journey when you read it on the page?
Well, you know, I recognized it, as I said, because I know a lot about, I have read over time, and you see a lot about this occurrence and this sort of phenomenon of women being created this way, unfortunately, and having this be the response to sexual abuse. But then once I started reading about it, because the first thing I wanted to look at was this nymphomania idea. And so, you know, I did research online and found out that, you know, nymphomania is basically a defunct word. And any, you know, psychiatrist worth their salt will tell you that it basically means nothing now except for that it's a male fantasy. There is sex addiction, but nymphomania is really not something that's really widely used. It's like calling someone crazy. It doesn't mean anything, really. But then I went back and looked at, okay, so what is she probably suffering from? And what she would have been suffering from, what fits of the description, post-traumatic stress is the thing that best fits what she's going through. And if you think about it, if she's a child who every day she's being abused, sexually abused, then every day she's living with this dread and fear, knowing something's coming, knowing it's going to happen at some point. And ironically, the only time that she experiences relief or calm is after the abuse has occurred, because it's when she at least can relax, knowing it's not going to happen again until the next day. So when someone's suffering from post-traumatic stress, they're experiencing the same emotions long after the event has stopped. So it could be 40 years ago, but you still feel that same kind of anxiety and stress of waiting for the abuse to occur. And if the only way she ever found relief before was from the abuse, now she's an adult with this horrifying, crippling anxiety and fear. She's got to then become almost her own abuser, because no one's ever taught her another way to get any kind of relief or release for her pain. So she creates these situations of degrading, anonymous, painful sex. And that's her way of abusing herself and creating at least momentary relief. And also, when I was reading tons of testimonials, there's a lot of, you read, expressed a lot by many individuals that they'd rather die than ever be raped again. And so you could kind of understand that her kind of saying, this is never going to happen to me again, and it's not going to happen to me again because I'm going to do it to myself first.
And it's sort of ironic that I think the big change or the difference in the film is when she basically rapes Lincoln, when Ray just grabs him, which is an amazing scene, but I thought that was different from what you're describing.
Well, no, that is a great example of why this cycle has to be broken. You know, how, you know, the cycle of violence, the cycle of abuse at some point has to end. And that is a great example of how she's keeping it going by hurting herself, and she's keeping it going by hurting someone else. And then there is the change after that, where, you know, maybe that event in itself was enough for her to say, now I'm hurting someone else. It's got to change. But she is hurting him because she's trying to, again, create another anonymous situation that relieves her anxiety. So it's sort of like she's not out to hurt him, but she does inadvertently. It's really her trying to create another situation like she had in the motel room. I don't know. I kind of got off track.
Seems like with what he has in mind for her, it seems like that'd be the first thing he would.
Well, he goes to the store and gets her medicine for her pneumonia, right? And at the same time gets her dresses, or is that a different trip? I'm sorry. It's a little bit later. Well, maybe he figures since she's sick still and she's still in bed and feverish, I mean, she's not getting up and walking. It's when she finally gets up and is going to walk around that he goes and gets her dresses.
How did you like working with Justin Timberlake?
I thought he was great. And Justin is so much fun to be around. He's really silly and goofy, and, you know, we had a great time, you know, on set. And I was really, really impressed with his acting. He was great, really connects with other actors in the scenes, and he could do a lot of things that it took me years to learn how to do. Yeah.
Did you have any, can you share one of those funny stories really quick?
Well, he used to make fun of me because I can't dance, and I asked him to teach me how to pop and lock, and apparently popping and locking are two different things. So that's nonsense, basically, popping and locking. And I was like, oh, okay, well then never mind. So I never got my dance lesson. Because popping and locking, it doesn't mean anything. It's nonsense.
How about that world of the South that the film takes place in? I mean, you're up here, and I know that as an actor, you can put yourself in another locale, but did you spend some time there? Did you try to absorb what's going on?
Well, I think, you know, before I went down there, I learned an accent, you know, as one does. My assistant at the time was born and raised in Memphis, and her sister happens to be a linguist. So even for my audition, she put all my dialogue on tape, and then I listened to it. And then when I got the part, she read the whole script onto a recorder or a tape, and I listened to the scenes before I'd go out and do them. But when you're in that situation, when you're down in the South and you're surrounded by Southerners every day and working, you start to just act like and speak like and feel like a Southerner. And there's a different kind of calm and laid back, and it's just different. I don't know how to express it really, but the more, I mean, I'm a totally Northerner through and through. And but when I was down there and surrounded by people, and I just sort of it's very infectious.
Can you tell us about Penelope?
Penelope is a great story. It's got a lot of heart, like this one does. It's basically a really wonderful story for young girls, and it's a fairy tale in which my character is cursed, her family's cursed, and she is born with the face of a pig. She's got pig nose. And the family believes, there's this riddle of how to break the curse, and the family believes that it is to find a man who will love her in spite of her nose. When really the moral of the story is that she had the power all the time, that all she needed to do was love and accept herself.
Is that a makeup job?
No, I grew a pig's nose.
Yeah. You've done makeup jobs before then.
Yeah.
Harder.
No, it was a prosthetic, but it wasn't very hard. It was actually pretty easy. You know, we got it down to like an hour and a half in the morning, and then a half hour kind of removal. So it wasn't that bad.
How would you describe the relationship between Ray and her mother? And that was the cause for her being how she is?
Well, I mean, not only was she abused her whole life, but she was abandoned by the one person who was supposed to love her. And, you know, that abandonment would have occurred when her mother allowed her stepfather to do what he did to her. And then, you know, to not be validated in what happened, like, that's also extremely abusive, to not validate somebody else's painful, abusive experience. So, I mean, that has a lot to do with her not ever having experienced any unconditional love. And that's really the thing, I think, that Lazarus gives her, is this sort of unconditional love and respect, and the basic respect that you just give another human being, which she's never really been given. And I think that's what is able for her to stop identifying herself with her past and sort of see a different person, see the person he sees.
Was it an easy decision to make this movie? Is that, I mean, did you just immediately say, yeah, I want to do this?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I felt so strongly about Ray and about the experience that she and millions of others of others have survived, and I felt like I felt a huge sort of moral responsibility to do this and to do it right and to give it really the attention and weight that it deserved. And also, I wanted to give her the dignity that she'd been stripped, that had been stripped from her. You know, and reading testimonials, the main thing that, or one of the biggest things that I read over and over again was that these people feel, that people feel that as children, the biggest thing they felt was this rage at this humiliation. Like all of a sudden, their dignity was taken from them. And then the rage continues, and how can you expect me to behave with any dignity when you've stripped me of it? So I really wanted to sort of give that back to her in a way and protect her by playing her.
Did you learn anything from Craig in regards to his vision of the South and the characters he's had?
Well, I know he's very influenced by Tennessee Williams, and I've always been a big Tennessee Williams fan. So yeah, we talked about that and how that's a big influence in the way he sees the South. I know you had a question. Well, it was, you know, the sort of getting out of character. Can you close that door fully?
Just close it.
Just close it. So, decompressing. Okay. It was harder to get into character. Once you're coming out of character, I think that's something that just slowly happens. The more you start to look like yourself again, the more you're in your own home again. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I'm a prude, and I do not like walking around naked. And I was in my bathroom about 2 months after the movie finished, and I was brushing my teeth, and I was in my underwear, and I, like, looked down, and was just like, oh, God, put something on. And then I just stopped and thought, oh, my God, I was half naked for 2 months, and my ass was on camera. And so I called my sister, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe, is it okay? I'm freaking out. And she was like, no, it's okay. You were playing a part. But it's so interesting how... When you come at a character and you become yourself again, you're sort of like, oh, well, I guess that's okay.
Well, to have a role like this and all the research and testimonials and everything, does it make you kind of count your blessings in a way?
Oh, absolutely. I read some statistics about revictimization that are just horrifying and so painful, and I've over the years done a lot of work with Rain, and ever since I got into the research and really kind of understanding what happens to these victims, I'm starting to work even more with them now, because I feel like one of the things I would like for someone seeing this movie who maybe is a survivor of sexual assault is to see that it could be 40 years ago. You still need to get counseling. You still need to get help. You don't have to report the crime, but for your own ability to move on and have a life, you need to get help. And so that's the thing that I got from this movie, that I hope other people will get from this movie, and the thing that I'm sort of working with Rain now to sort of try to get that message out there even more.
Well, do you have a concern that some male viewers might watch you in that role and get kicked watching it when they should instead be feeling sorry for the character?
Yeah, I mean, that is my concern. But, you know, because those kinds of men exist, we have child rapists and rapists and... those are the people who create this problem, and so I have concerns about them even beyond how they react to this film.
Slightly lighter note, I mean, did you do anything special to get in shape physically for that role?
Oh, thank you. I actually wanted her to look really unhealthy and like someone who didn't take care of herself. So I sort of, the more you get into character, the more it's easy to kind of neglect yourself because she neglects herself. But someone mentioned something about looking like that you've only been fed sugar your whole life. So I kind of started to eat only sugar, and it kind of worked because I look really unhealthy in the movie.
What kind of things did you eat?
Sugar. Like,
ding-dongs or what?
Yeah. No, like basically nothing with nutritional value.
What's the name of this organization that you've been working with?
Rain.
What is it?
It's a Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, and they have a 24-hour hotline, which is 1-800-656-HOPE, and, you know, people can call and anonymously get referred to local counseling places and report crimes if they want to, or just get the help they need.
What did people say to you about the poster? What image that portrays? It was kind of interesting. In the office,
yeah.
People were saying what they thought the movie would be about.
Right.
Suddenly say a masochistic or something like that.
Well, you know, I feel like this movie has to be dissected from the inside out. And at the very heart of this film is a story about two people who are in an incredible amount of pain who, by finding each other, manage to help each other heal. And then, you know, that as an actor, like, that's how we look at it. And then the director comes and has a certain kind of style and vision that he wants to shoot the movie in. And then when it comes to advertising, they're going to show the thing that's the most salacious about the movie to get people in the theaters. And it also kind of follows along the lines of one of the themes for me making this movie, and I know I talked to Craig about it and he agreed, was this idea of, you know, the exploitation of women. And what I thought was so important about this film and what this film showed really well was how she's been exploited her whole life to the point where she swallowed the exploitation, and now as an adult, she's exploiting herself. And we used iconic images to sort of dress her and sort of in reference to these iconic sort of exploitive images, sort of showing how women are now regurgitating the exploitation that they are being put through. And it was, you know, so that's a lot of what that kind of thing in the film is about, and I think that's what the poster's about as well.
Thank you.